Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is another branch. Bank a new edition of Rico Bronya. Welcome in. This episode is dedicated to a question I genuinely don't want to answer. Like, in a perfect world, Pete Alonso is a New York Met. Pete Alonso resigns. He's here for a long time. We're comfortable with the contract. Alonso's comfortable with the contract. Stearns is comfortable with the contract. And we can focus on more important things during this offseason. But I also understand that there's a real possibility Pete Alonso is not going to be back. He is a free agent. We know his asking price is going to be incredibly high. And so this edition of the Rico is dedicated to replacing Pete Alonso. What I am going to try to not do over the course of this episode is every time we talk about names, go back to why I prefer Pete Alonso. That's not healthy. That's not healthy for any of us. And even as a listener, if you think that, the point of this episode is not to prove the Mets have to keep Pete Alonso. It's more to have a real discussion about what the options look like. Okay? That's my goal. So anytime in the midst of talking about somebody, I say, "Ah, Pete Alonso's a better option," I'm going to slap myself. I'm going to do it. I'm going to just take my left hand and slap myself. Ow, that actually kind of hurt. Maybe I won't do that, especially with my wedding ring on, because that may leave a mark. So it's not about Pete's better than this guy or Pete's better than that guy. It's about looking into the possibilities of what's best for the Mets if, for whatever reason, Pete Alonso isn't back. Maybe it's some team gave him a drunken sailor offer. Maybe it's the Mets just say, "We want to move up." Whatever the reason, what are the options? Before we get into replacing Pete Alonso, which will be the major subject of today's Rico, let's get to what I think is very surprising news. We do know that Troy Snitker has been added as the new hitting coach. I don't know much about him other than background with the Astros. That's good. And related to Brian Snitker. That's good. Even though we didn't like him managing the Atlanta Braves, he certainly knows what he's doing. But the other piece of news, which is surprising, and I would definitely say is disappointing, is what Jeff Passan tweeted Monday afternoon. And I'll read it to you, and I'll give you some quick analysis. The New York Mets and first base coach Anton Richardson have not come to terms on a new contract, and Richardson is expected to leave the organization, sources told ESPN. Richardson was lauded for his work with the Mets base runners and will seek another job when his contract expires. I think all of us have the same first reaction, which is, damn it. This was one coach in which we literally saw the results on the field all year long. I mean, Juan Soto turned himself into freaking Ricky Henderson. And we saw the Mets all year long, despite many of the issues that drove us nuts, take advantage of the running game. Now, Anton Richardson was notably a major reason why. And so, despite all these coaching changes that the Mets are going through this year, he seemed like a logical guy to return. You read that tweet by Jeff Passan, and it is understandable why an email like I'm about to read would come out and why most Met fans' first reaction would be, we screwed this up. Like, I'm going to read Mark Gray's email, and I appreciate it, Mark, his instant reaction to Anton Richardson being gone. Guys, can you do me a favor and check if David Stern's middle name is Wilpon? Or if he was secretly adopted by the Wilpons as a child? Why else would you be willing to let Anton Richardson walk rather than pay the man what he deserves? He was without a doubt the most impactful first base coach the Mets have ever had. He single-handedly added a new dimension to Juan Soto's game. Just the fact alone merits a substantial raise. On the other hand, Stearns couldn't wait to sign Dickie Lovelady to a major league contract. All right. There's a long, long email by Mark, but I want to just start with that part of it. I agree with you. My first reaction was, what's going on? Are the Mets getting cheap on paying Anton Richardson? But logically, that's not what happened. I think what we need to do for a brief second is think about what Anton Richardson is thinking about. He is basically the one coach the Mets wanted back. They are changing all of Carlos Mendoza's coaching. And if you're Anton Richardson, you probably have a pretty good reputation based on what the Mets did with their run game this year. Wouldn't you want to be a free agent? And wouldn't you probably go somewhere else? I mean, we're Met fans. We want him back. But if you're Anton Richardson, do you want to be back? And I think that's a fair question. At what point should the Mets have just given him whatever he wants? I mean, look, you got to be smart here. Can't just give him a blank check. But it reeks now of a guy who wanted to leave. It reeks of a guy who said, you're changing all of Mendy's coaches. I don't want to come back. And we'll see where Anton Richardson ends up and what job he takes and what coaching staff he joins. But I do agree. My initial gut reaction was, are the Mets getting cheap? I even said on the air when I brought this news up to Beningo on his Monday spot, but giving it some time to think about it, this really feels like more of an Anton Richardson decision than a Mets decision. But we'll keep an eye on it because the Mets continue to build a coaching staff, and there are many questions going into 2026, one of which is the future of Pete Alonso. So I now present to you your regularly scheduled Rico Bronya entitled Replacing Pete Alonso. First thing I want to mention, I'm going to bring up a lot of names today. Some of them are free agents. Some of them are potential trade targets. They're not all going to be first basemen because replacing Pete Alonso is not about, to me, who's the first baseman of the New York Mets. It's not. It's about who replaces the production. That, to me, is what it's about because you can replace the production at a different position, get less offense out of first base, and be okay. I mean, those are certain possibilities. So it is not about first base. This episode is not first base, first base, first base. It's you lose Pete Alonso. He's not here. You just took away 38 home runs and 126 RBIs. You just took away a guy who you can write down is going to play 162 games. I mean, Pete Alonso, it's pretty impressive. And it's important as we get into this discussion, Pete Alonso may be the most dependable player in baseball when it comes to playing every day. When he was a rookie, he played 161 of 162 games. The following year, the pandemic shortened season, he played 57 of 60 games. The year after that, 2021, was 152 out of 162. The year after that was 160 out of 162. The year after that was 154 out of 162. And the following 2 years, 24 and 25, it was all 162. So when we bring up names, their availability matters. So it is about, if he's not here, how do you replace what was last year, 272, 871 OPS, 38 home runs, and 126 RBIs. So let me start with, I don't want to say option number one in terms of rankings, because it's not rankings. It's more just talking about the different possibilities. Let's talk about Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is a real possibility, and Kyle Schwarber replaces Pete Alonso's offense. He is not a first baseman. He is not somebody who you're going to ask to play first base. I think the thinking behind Schwarber would be, we've replaced the offense. We have brought in a guy, even though he's a few years older, and have replaced the Pete Alonso offense. First of all, age-wise, Pete Alonso was 31 in early December. So for the sake of this, he is a 31-year-old baseball player upon next year. Kyle Schwarber is going to be a 33-year-old baseball player. So you're talking about a two-year age difference between Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber. But by bringing in Kyle Schwarber, a couple of things about him, and I want to tell you the positives. Number one, he has matched Alonso over the last 4 years in terms of playing, in terms of being out there every single day. Last year with Philadelphia, 2025, he played all 162 games. The year before that, he played 150. The year before that, he played 160. And the year before that, in 2022, he played 155. So even though we may remember Kyle Schwarber missing time, especially 2016 when he didn't play and then just pops up in the World Series and then missing time, I guess in 2021 would be the other year where he missed time. He actually has been a dependable player the last couple of years. So I think he matches that in terms of Alonso, and you could feel good about him continuing to do that because he doesn't play a position. And I think if the Mets signed Kyle Schwarber, they would not be signing him to play a position. Last year, Kyle Schwarber only played 8 games in the outfield, 154 at DH. The year before that, 5 games in the outfield, 144 games at DH. You got to go back to 2023 when he was a most of the time outfielder. He played 103 games in 23 and 139 games in 2022. He did play 10 games at first base in 2021. But for me, if the Mets sign Kyle Schwarber as a replacement for Pete Alonso, it would be to be a designated hitter, because they probably view Pete Alonso that way, even if Pete's not going for it. So the positive of Kyle Schwarber is that dependability, he has pretty much matched Pete Alonso. In terms of production, well, let's go through it. I mean, last year, Kyle Schwarber hit 56 home runs and drove in 132 runs. His batting average wasn't as good as Pete's. He had 240, but he had a 928 OPS. He walks a ton of times. Kyle Schwarber is, he's not Juan Soto, but he's Soto-like in terms of his pitch selection. His on-base percentage last year was 365. The year before that, it was 366. So it's not on the Soto level where Juan is probably going to get to 40%. But if you bring in Kyle Schwarber, he's a higher on-base guy than Pete. Probably he will hit for a lower average. He basically does that every year. But look at the power. He's coming off a 56 home run season. I don't think he'll do that again. But look at Pete's power. I mean, Pete last year did not hit nearly as many home runs as Kyle Schwarber. And if you go back a year earlier, same thing, only at 34 home runs. I am not trying to tell you this is a better option. I'm just letting you know this is not an awful replacement. 56 home runs last year, 38 home runs the year before that, 47 home runs the year before that, and 46 home runs the year before that. So you know what that means? That means that Kyle Schwarber has hit more home runs than Pete Alonso in every single year of the last 4 years. Now, some of them have been close. Like when Kyle Schwarber hit 47 home runs in 2023, Pete Alonso had 46. So it's not as if he destroyed him in that regard. And even 2024, Schwarber hit 38, Pete at 34. But over the last 4 years, it is what it is. I mean, he has been a more dependable slugger than Pete Alonso. But we also have to understand Kyle Schwarber is a huge strikeout guy. So for the walks that he will give you, and he will walk at a higher percentage than Pete Alonso. He will also strike out at a higher percentage. He struck out 200 times in 2022, 215 times in 2023, and the last 2 years, he was at 197. He strikes out 28% of the time. The league average is 22% of the time. Pete Alonso is at the league average, believe it or not. And that may surprise people, because I think you think of Pete as a high strikeout guy, but his numbers pretty much mirror Major League Baseball. Last year, Pete Alonso struck out 22.8% of the time. The Major League average was 22.7. It is what it is. Kyle Schwarber will strike out a lot more. He will walk a lot more. He hits a lot of home runs. He'll hit for a lower average. I think if we're strictly looking at offense, I think they're very comparable players. Very comparable players. What does Kyle Schwarber get on the open market? That is a major question. I don't know. I really don't. Because if you're Kyle Schwarber and you're coming off a 54, 57, whatever I just said, I'm forgetting already, home run season, aren't you looking for kind of what Pete Alonso's looking? Pete Alonso's looking for 7 years, probably at about $30 million a clip. Even though Kyle doesn't play a position and he's 2 years older and he's 33, is he not asking for a 5-year deal? And the question I have for all of us to try to dissect is, are we more comfortable giving this player a 5-year deal than Pete because we know he's a designated hitter? And that whole thing is weird to me. Like, if Pete Alonso is okay being a designated hitter, and I assume he is because I assume he wants to get paid, I would think that Pete Alonso is going to realize that a part of his career is going to be as a designated hitter. If we are looking at both of them as designated hitters, and so we're not taking points away from Pete for his defense, that we're not taking away from Schwarber, because...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If he doesn't play defense, then doesn't that level the playing field? Here's what I know. I know that Kyle Schwarber has a great reputation in that Phillies locker room. And not that the Met locker room is a problem, but he certainly couldn't hurt the room. You're also weakening the Phillies, though that's not atop my list. I think Kyle Schwarber is a very, very solid replacement for Pete Alonso because it allows David Stearns to do what he wants to do in terms of improving the defense of this team.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
He calls it run prevention, and run prevention is a lot of aspects. You need better pitching to have good run prevention, but you also need better defense. And so who's the first baseman you would then target that can play top-level defense? Well, if you've just added Kyle Schwarber's bat, that defender doesn't have to be the greatest bat in the world. He really doesn't. And maybe that is somewhat internal. And not Mark Vientos, because I don't think Mark Vientos necessarily is going to turn into anything much better defensively than Pete Alonso. But maybe, believe it or not, it is Brett Beatty or Ronnie Mauricio, or dare I say Juan Soto. Those are three guys that you could look at as potentially transitioning to first base. Now, will they transition to a level in which they're playing the position defensively at a high level? Probably not right away. Maybe they can become that. We saw Bryce Harper certainly become a pretty good defender at first base. But adding Kyle Schwarber as a replacement for Pete Alonso, you are clearly, and this is one of the rare times I'm going to say that in the replacing Pete Alonso episode, this is one of the rare guys that legitimately replaces the bat of Pete Alonso. A lot of guys we're about to mention don't do that. But when you look at Kyle Schwarber over the last 4 years, and you look at the power he's hit for, and you look at his just overall numbers, he replaces Pete Alonso. Now you get into what it's going to cost, the amount of years, what is Pete going to cost, what is his amount of years. If all things are equal, who would I prefer? I'd prefer Pete Alonso. I'd prefer him because he's 2 years younger. I'd prefer him because even if you don't think of him as Keith Hernandez at first base, he is at least capable of playing the position. I think Kyle Schwarber becomes a guy where you never stick him out of position. So I think there's a value to that. And sure, the bonus on top is he's our guy. That is absolutely a bonus, but it isn't the end all be all. I think I have broken my own rule because I'm already comparing what I prefer. I would say that Kyle Schwarber, Pete, though, is a good option in terms of replacing the offense you're going to lose from losing Pete Alonso.
I don't disagree. I will just say, and I'm not trying to compare, but there's a few things that stick out with Kyle Schwarber that's going to aggravate some people, right? So this past year, batting 240, batting 928 OPS is good. But typically, I mean, he runs around 232 as a batting average. A couple of years ago where he had 48 home runs, he batted 197. Like, if Mets fans are aggravated that Pete Alonso a couple of years ago batted 217, tell me what's going to happen when he's batting under the Mendoza line. You know what I mean? So, yes, 56 home runs is great, but you got to be able to do a little bit more than just add power. If you're going to be a DH, you know, if that's all you're going to be is a DH, then you got to be more of a better hitter than that.
Where I think, and I hate to sound like a new age person that doesn't care about batting average, because I do care about batting average. But if you're going to get on base a lot via walks, which is what he does, doesn't that make up for the points in batting average that he's not getting? You know what I mean by that? Like, The old saying is a walk is as good as a hit. Well, sometimes it is because you are getting on base. And so if you're hitting for a 220 batting average, but you are getting on base at a 350, 360 clip, isn't that okay? Doesn't that make it okay?
Yes, it does. However, hear me out. Last year's 928 OPS for Schwarber was light years away than what he's done the past 3 years with Philadelphia. His highest before that was 851 in 2024. Otherwise, it was 817, 827. And here's the comparison with the walks versus strikeouts. He's getting on base with the walks, but it's basically home run, walk, or striking out. And at times, one of the biggest issues that we've had is contact. You know, I'd love to see Kyle Schwarber's, you know, clutch moments with the Phillies this year.
Well, Kyle Schwarber was atrocious in the playoffs. I mean, he fell off the rooftop. So he's a streaky player. The other negative to Kyle Schwarber is that he's a left-hand hitter. And when you look at the core of this team, the guys that are likely to be back, Brandon Nimmo is likely to be on this team. Juan Soto is on this team. Lindor's a switch hitter, and it's odd because he's coming off a year in which he was a better left-hand hitter than right-hand hitter, and the year before that, it was the complete opposite. You're also looking at Brett Beatty, who's probably going to be a big part of this team, another left-hand hitter. We'll see the way things work out with some of the other roster spots and who's here and who's not, but turning Alonso, who is that perfect right-handed bat to break up some of the lefties, into another lefty is not ideal. And speaking of which, let me bring up another name in the replace Pete Alonso edition of Rico Bronya. And that's a guy who I think has only enhanced his value with what he did in the postseason, and that's Josh Naylor. Josh Naylor is likely to be considered the second best first baseman on the market. Let's go through some of the things about Josh Naylor that are clearly appealing. Number one, he is going to be in a 28-29 age season next year. So he is still young. You know, we talk about Alonso having that edge on Kyle Schwarber. Josh Naylor clearly is going to have that on Pete. He's currently 28 years old. He turns 29 in June. That's why I say next season will be a 28-29 year. He also hits, you know, you talk about batting average. You know, I'm basically going to use a lot of the positives you gave Alonso over Schwarber and use it right here on Josh Naylor. Josh Naylor hits for a pretty big batting average. This past year, he ended up hitting .295. 2 years ago with Cleveland, he hit .308. Here's some of the negatives about Naylor. Dependability. This year, he played 147 games. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. The year before that, 152 games. Nothing wrong with that. The years before that was 122, 122, 70. And I think a part of that, to be fair, is that he wasn't trusted to face left-handed pitching because Josh Naylor is a left-handed hitter who early in his career didn't hit lefties. You look at him this past season, he did a much better job against lefties, but you run into that same issue with this lineup balance that you're bringing someone else in who is a left-hand hitter. Now, with Soto and Nimmo, you don't worry about it as much because they do a pretty good job against lefties. The other thing about Naylor is this past year, 295, 816 OPS, 20 home runs, 92 RBIs, and he pulled a Soto, the sneaky stolen bases. He stole 30 bases this year, despite being one of the slower base runners in baseball. I do not think that that's a sustainable number. And I think that was appealing to a lot of people, especially in the postseason, like, oh, I had another guy who could steal 25 or 30 bases. Naylor's track record is that of Soto. In fact, coming into this season, I mentioned this a few episodes ago on the Juan Soto deep dive with the home runs, how Juan Soto nearly stole as many bases this past season as he had in his career. Well, Josh Naylor stole 30 bases. Coming into the year, he had a career total of 25. So what I see in that is that do not be fooled, at least I'm not going to be fooled, by the 30 stolen bases. He is not a fast base runner. I think a lot of it was probably what Juan Soto did, which is catching people by surprise. As much as we all love Anton Richardson, I don't know if this is something that's going to last forever. I look at Josh Naylor as a real solid player. He's a good defender. He's a good hitter. He's good. I mean, he's a good ball player. Like, I don't have that many negative things to say about him, but he's not the difference maker that Pete Alonso is. I think you gain things with Naylor. You gain the bat on ball skill. He's only struck out 100 times once in his career, so you cut down on strikeouts. I think that's pretty good. When you look at his walk percentage in his major league career, it's not high, so he doesn't walk a lot. He's not a high on base guy. In fact, Pete Alonso walks at a higher percentage than Josh Naylor does. He hits for some pop, you know, good amount of pop, 25 home runs. Not that far off from what Pete's done the last couple of years. Hits for a higher batting average. Good, solid player. I think if you add Naylor, and again, what's the contract look like? I mean, because he's 2 years younger than Pete, is Josh Naylor going into free agency asking for 7 years? And are we comfortable doing that? Look at his body. I mean, I don't mean to shame him or anything, but he looks husky. How does that look in 3 years? So I like Naylor. I think he's a good ball player. I think he would be a solid addition. I feel like it would be overall, pound for pound, a downgrade from Pete.
Here's the thing, though. You look at one thing that we haven't mentioned at all, his defense. If he's playing, he's playing first base.
Yep.
And the metrics, I think, on Josh Naylor are much higher. And the one thing that we've always criticized Pete about is that, oh, you know, he looks awkward while doing things. Naylor doesn't. And on top of that, he does have an emotional side to him that I think can add to the clubhouse. You know, I just remember the rock and the baby as he hit a home run off the Yankees. And he just seems to be a psycho. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the Mets need that.
Sure. I mean, I have nothing against what he would do in the locker room. I mentioned that about Kyle Schwarber. His defense is good. I was taking a look at outs above average on first baseman from 2025, and he was in the top 10. He was a plus two. Just to give you perspective, Pete Alonso was a minus nine and was ranked 39 out of 40 first basemen. I mean, he was not treated well based on his defense.
Hey, so, I'll tell you, it's better than being ranked 40 out of 39.
That is true. You know what I found very weird about outs above average? And I was going to bring this guy's name up. He's on the World Series roster of the Toronto Blue Jays, Ty France. And Ty France wasn't on the Blue Jays roster in some of the earlier rounds. Ty France graded out as the best defensive first baseman in Major League Baseball. And I saw that, and I was like, well, that's really interesting. I mean, Ty France is one of those guys that can play everywhere. And so I started to be intrigued, like, oh, that would be a good player to add, not to replace Pete Alonso, but if you want Pete to DH more, it would be cool to have a guy who can play first base at a high level, can also play other positions, and there are more DH days for Alonso. So I look at Ty France, I see the outs above average, I'm like, that's crazy. Then I look at his outs above average at first base 2024 and 2023, and he's graded out as one of the worst defensive first basemen in baseball. So that's the one thing about metrics you got to keep an eye on. And look, that the simple answer could be, yeah, he worked hard. He's better this year. I mean, that's a very easy answer and could very well be true. The reason I think we all love or we don't love, the reason we become more open to defensive metrics is because we can't watch every inning of every player. It's impossible. I mean, even watching our own guys can sometimes deceive you. So I don't love defensive metrics where it's the Bible, like I think it's everything they say is true, but I do look at it to give me guidance. And the Ty France thing is weird because of the, it goes up and it goes down. Pete Alonso's down all the time. I mean, we've said this for years. He is not treated well based on defensive metrics. And I'll tell you, this past year was not his best defensive season, but just to your point, Josh Naylor is graded out pretty good. I'll tell you another guy who's graded out pretty good. And he's also on the replacing Pete Alonso sheet. We're talking about a guy who's a free agent, so he is available. His name is Ryan O'Hearn. Ryan O'Hearn, who was on the Baltimore Orioles, was having a very good season this year, and then he got traded at the trade deadline. He ended up with the San Diego Padres and did pretty well with San Diego. His final numbers this year in 144 games was a .281 batting average, 17 home runs, 63 RBIs, and .803 OPS. This was the best year of his career. He had a pretty good year in 2023, but before that, when he was with the Kansas City Royals, he was not a good major leaguer. I mean, he just wasn't. And so I guess sometimes you see that, a guy who just recently developed as a 29-year-old, and you wonder, okay, how good is he? Ryan O'Hearn, age-wise, is 32 years old, and he'll turn 33 in July. So another guy who's older than Pete Alonso, a year and a half older than Pete Alonso. Ryan O'Hearn, to me, is very interesting. And I'm including him in replacing Pete Alonso, but I like him as in addition to Pete Alonso because he fits what I just described, which is bringing somebody in to play a lot of first base, have Pete Alonso DH. And oh, by the way, on days where Pete Alonso is playing first, because we're not completely eliminating him from it, Ryan O'Hearn can go out and play a solid right field. Now, where does that leave Juan Soto? That leaves Juan Soto DHing. It leaves days where Ryan O'Hearn DHs. It keeps your roster fluid where O'Hearn's in the lineup, Alonso's in the lineup, Soto's in the lineup, and you can fluctuate between who's DHing and who's playing a position. If Mark Vientos is here too, it still works.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Because Ryan O'Hearn is a left-hand hitter and probably will sit against some tough lefties. So I like him in addition to Pete, but I do bring him up because when you look at the first basemans that are available and are free agents, you put Pete Alonso one, you put Josh Naylor number two, you can make a pretty damn good argument, Ryan O'Hearn, in terms of Americans, ones that have played Major League Baseball. I don't mean Americans. I mean guys that played Major League Baseball, because we'll get to the Japanese options. They haven't played the major leagues, so there's an unknown to all of them. But Ryan O'Hearn is probably the third best first baseman available. I don't love him as a replacement. I'm intrigued by him as an addition, because I think you're losing a lot offensively with O'Hearn, and you're doing that lefty thing we talked about earlier. You are improving yourself defensively, but that's a lot of offense you're giving up by losing Alonso and replacing him with Ryan O'Hearn. So he's, to me, a guy to think about, but more of an in addition kind of guy.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing savings. It's easy to use, and you get cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. The brands you love pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
And here's the other thing about O'Hearn. Besides the last 2 years where he's played about 140 games both seasons, he's not really you talk about a guy who misses time. I mean, 2023, he played 112 games. 2022, he played 67. 2021, he played 84. Skipped 2020, but 2019, he played 105. Like, he's missing a chunk of time every single year. He's not reliable.
Let me go through a few of the other first basemans before we get to non-first basemans that can replace Pete Alonso more in the light of Kyle Schwarber. You got Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt is not a suitable replacement for Pete Alonso. Carlos Santana still plays the position really well defensively. Not a suitable replacement for Pete Alonso. Max Muncy, there's a team option on him. I think the Dodgers are probably going to exercise it, even if they don't. Doesn't feel like a big upgrade over Pete. It feels like a major downgrade. Yandy Diaz is a guy the Mets were intrigued by via trade. That was something Anthony DeComo reported a couple of weeks ago. He's due to make $12 million in 26, $10 million in 2027. Yandy Diaz also does not grade out very good defensively. So another one of those guys that if you add him, and he's a solid hitter. He hit 300 last year. Hits for some pop. I mean, won a batting title 3 years ago. So he's a different offensive player than Pete. Doesn't strike out a lot. We mentioned the higher batting average, but you don't gain in terms of the run prevention. And also, you have to give up a lot. I mean, now we're talking about a guy who's a trade target. You know, the guys I mentioned before are all free agents. So Yandy Diaz replacing Pete Alonso, don't want to do it. Wilson Contreras as a possible trade option. Another guy who graded out pretty good defensively. You think of Wilson Contreras as a converted catcher, and you're like, how good could he be defensively? Was actually pretty solid. The first base options are not good. That's the point. I mean, honestly, I do want to get to the Japanese guys because they could be good options. Munetaka Murakami. Everything we've heard about Munetaka Murakami is that he is not a good defender. What is he offensively? Who knows? He could be a superstar. He could be a guy that comes over here, hits 45 home runs, and there's a nice fitting replacement for Pete Alonso. But there are a lot of questions with someone who's now adjusting to major league pitching. And I think Murakami is another one of those guys that I would be intrigued by in addition to Pete Alonso. Is a guy that would probably DH a lot, maybe play a little bit of first base, maybe play a little bit of first base with Pete moving over to DH. But Munetaka Murakami comes with a lot of questions. We mentioned Akimoto, the other guy who just got posted, who apparently is a very good defender. That part is appealing. Because again, if you're losing and replacing Pete Alonso, you would think a big healthy part of it is that you want to improve defensively. Kazuma Akimoto, at least from what I've read, is a top defender. He's 29 years old. He'll be turning 30 in the middle of June. But again, he comes over with a lot of questions. If he's going to just replicate what he did in 2024 with the Uramiya Giants, I think we would look at it and say, okay, not bad. 280, 27 home runs, 83 RBIs, 863 OPS, 97 strikeouts. Cool. And he's going to give you plus defense. Great. But with guys coming over from Japan, you just don't know. So he's another option. Now let's get to the non-first basemen, because this is where, to me, things get intriguing. Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman is going to be a free agent. He's going to opt out of that three-year, $120 million contract. Alex Bregman is 32 years old right around opening day. So 1 year older than Pete Alonso. He is a Gold Glove caliber third baseman. We know that about him. Up until this past season, the last 3 years, he was healthy and was out there every single day. 155 games in 22, 161 games in 2023, 145 games in 2024, and really consistent. Like, his WAR was basically mid-fours. His batting average right around the same number, 260. The home runs right around 25. And the RBI is obviously very dependent on guys being on base in that 90 range. Those are not offensive numbers that blow you away. But there's a few things we need to keep in mind about Alex Bregman. Number one, winning ball player, winning pedigree. Number two, he walks at a very high clip, higher than Pete. Walks 11% of the time. The major league average is 8% of the time. He does not strike out. And I say that, it's a different world. He does strike out, but he doesn't strike out in terms of guys in 2025 or in this case, 2026. He strikes out 13% of the time. The league average is 22% of the time. So he strikes out less than Pete. He walks more than Pete. He's not hitting 40 home runs. He did that once in his career back in 2019. That was the year where everybody was hitting 40 home runs. He's more in the 25 to 30 range. His batting average, more in that 260 to 270 range. He's a clutch ball player. That we know. We've seen him do it in the postseason. We've seen him do it at the highest level. He's hit 19 home runs in his postseason career in 102 games. He seems to play the game with an edge. It's a perception that I think we all have. And obviously the defense. I can't ignore that. You bring him in, you now have a left side of the infield of Lindor and Bregman that is top-notch. This is a very solid, intriguing replacement for Pete. What does it do to Brett Baty? Look, I mentioned earlier, Brett Baty could end up being the guy that ends up playing first base. I think it opens up first base probably for a younger player because I don't think they're signing Bregman and also signing Josh Naylor or signing Bregman and keeping Pete Alonso. This is not along with Pete Alonso. This would be a replacement. And it would be a way to improve run prevention at third base at such a high level that if you can get average defense at first base, you've just improved your defense a lot. Again, the age thing. We are talking about a 1 year age difference. So it's not huge, but he's 32 years old. And you have to think Bregman is going to be asking for the kind of contract Pete's asking for, probably more. All you got to do is look at the deal he ended up signing. It was 3 years, $120 million. Pete Alonso basically got a 2-year deal, basically got a 1-year deal at $30 million. So is it worth paying more in years and more in money for Alex Bregman versus Pete Alonso? How do you look at Bregman as a replacement for Pete Alonso, Hoff?
I mean, this is tough, dude, because I respect Bregman. I respect his defense. You know, you definitely, like you said, like the defense definitely gets so much better. His injuries this year was a little bit of a concern. But I don't know if he does enough offensively. He's a good hitter, but I don't know if he adds enough offensively that's going to, for run prevention, for, let me put it this way. David Stearns, I think, is intrigued by this. David Stearns is intrigued by run prevention. Okay, I can buy into this. I don't care about his offensive numbers as much. I care about having a great third baseman who's going to prevent players from advancing and scoring. I just don't, personally speaking, I just don't think that you're taking away a ton of offense by bringing in Bregman and moving, say, Beatty to first base, because I mean, that's the scenario you're going with. I would think that you'd still have to add on somewhere else. Beatty can't be your everyday first baseman.
I don't think you're losing as much offensively as you're describing. I mean, look, you are losing some, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's this incredible drop-off between Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman.
I mean, you're talking about somebody who, how many RBIs do you have this year? 100 well, and...
Let me get, first of all, RBIs are, it's tough because it's about the lineup that you're in. Like if Alex Bregman is hitting behind Juan Soto, I think he's going to get a lot of RBI opportunities. I'm going to give you the last 3 years of Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. Combine it all together with Stathead. They do a great job with that. And here are the numbers. And you'll hear the differences because there are significant differences, but I still don't think the drop-off is as great as you're describing. Last 3 years, Alonso, because he plays every day, played 58 more games. So keep that in mind. That is almost half a season. Pete Alonso hit 118 home runs, Alex Bregman 69. So that is, it's a big number. Even if you add the games that Bregman plays, that's a big drop in power. Batting average, Alex Bregman 264, Pete Alonso 244. On base percentage, Bregman 346, Pete 332. Slugging, Pete hasn't beat, 496 to 450. OPS, 827 to 796 for Pete Alonso. OPS plus, 130 for Pete, 121 for Bregman. It's a clear edge that Pete has. By the way, WAR, which is a counting stat, 9.3 for Pete, 12.5 for Bregman, which shows you the value of base running and obviously defense. There is no question to your point that pound for pound as a run producer, Pete gives you more. I am just simply arguing it's not a monstrous drop-off. It's a drop-off, but it's not monstrous. And I do what I like about Bregman. I like the defense. I like the edge. I like the winning pedigree. I like that he's a right-hand hitter. You know, I think when you look at the construction of this lineup and knowing Soto's here for a long time, Nimmo ain't going anywhere as much as some Met fans may want to trade him. If you're committing to a 3-, 4-, 5-year contract, I ideally want this replacement to be a right-hand hitter. So I think Bregman at least does that.
He does that. And it just, it's one of those things though, then now you have a surplus of players that you have at third base that, because Bregman's not going to sign a 1- or 2-year deal.
It's a long-term deal.
Right. You're basically saying it's something that's similar to what Alonso's getting. So are you then trading the excess players that you have to then bring in pitching? It's also like, it's like the trickle-down effect. I understand it's two different conversations, but I do feel like that's one thing you have to think about.
Well, I think with Ronnie Mauricio and Brett Beatty, they are candidates to be the opening day third baseman for the New York Mets. Mark Vientos isn't. Mark Vientos, if he's on this team, is going to be as a designated hitter
or maybe as part of the replacement at first base for Pete Alonso. If he's on this team, he very well could be traded elsewhere. Beatty can play second base. I thought he did a pretty good job of doing such. And I think the jury's still out on where Ronnie Mauricio ends up. I think second base is an option for him too. Obviously, you got Jet Williams that's thrown in there. And then, of course, these guys just being traded and just not being on the team. The other replacement for Pete, and this guy does qualify as a first baseman, so I should include him in that kind of grouping, is Cody Bellinger. Now, Cody Bellinger has not played a lot of first base. We've talked so much about him, even with the Yankees, as, oh, he could play first base, and he plays it as at a high level. Cody Bellinger played 7 games for the New York Yankees at first base. He played 22 games for the Chicago Cubs at first base in 2024 and 59 games in 2023. That's really his extent of playing a lot of first base, unless you want to go back to his rookie season. So he hasn't done it a lot. So the metrics that you may be looking at on Cody Bellinger, what is it really telling you? There isn't a huge sample size. He hasn't done it a lot. Do I have faith that he would probably be a plus defender at first base? I think he would be. I think the other intriguing part about Bellinger is that the development of Carson Bench could allow you, if you sign Bellinger, to not actually make him the first baseman right away. So in this alternate universe where they are replacing Pete Alonso and their big ticket financial item to replace him is Cody Bellinger, you could start next year off with Bellinger playing a crap ton of center field and some kind of mix and match at first base. And then once Bench gets here and let's say proves he's a major leaguer, same with Jet Williams, now Bellinger could shift over and play first base. So he does provide that versatility. Look, I like Cody's versatility. I like his defense. I don't trust him. And I'll tell you why. I don't trust him because the last 5 years of his career has provided a roller coaster. And I know that last year with the Yankees, he had a really solid year, hit for a good average, hit a decent amount of home runs. He was a 5-war ball player, second highest war of his major league career since his MVP year. But I think back to a year earlier in which he was a 751 OPS player who only had 18 home runs playing at Wrigley Field. I think of the player from 2 years earlier. I mean, 2022 is not that long ago when he hit 210, hit 650 OPS, and was benched in the postseason. So he's still relatively young. Cody Bellinger is 30, and next year will be a 30 into 31 season. So he's a slightly younger than Pete Alonso. But I don't know, man. That roller coaster of the last 4 or 5 years scares me a little bit. He's one of those guys that intrigues me more as a guy you add in addition to Pete Alonso, in addition to keeping him. And the way I would view that is he's the center fielder. Once Benj is ready, Bellinger does play a lot of first base and Pete becomes the designated hitter. I think the reason why that's not going to happen, as much as I can sit here and say I would like it, is that they're both getting long-term deals. They both are Scott Boras guys, and they're getting big contracts. And the Mets are not going to hand out multiple big contracts to position players. I don't see it. So while we may like that, I don't think that's realistic. I think if Cody Bellinger is a New York Met, he is replacing Pete Alonso.
Well, like you just said, like I don't like that. I think that he needs to be I'm not saying fourth outfielder, but I think he needs to be that like utility guy that could play all over the diamond. You could spell him and have him sit, you know, fill in for Soto at right field. You could have him fill in for Nimmo a lot at left field.
Yeah.
To be fair, what Cody Bellinger did last year is basically what the Mets want Brandon Nimmo to do every year. That those are the numbers that they want out of Nimmo. I don't disagree with you either. I don't trust him enough. Like he had the MVP year and then fell off. He's been inconsistent, so that sucks. But I'm open to having him play because he could play a hell of a defense.
Yeah, I think the role you described is fine. I just don't think the Mets are spending that. They're going to have to – Cody Bellinger is going to cost, I'm going to guess, $24 million a year. Let's just say 5-year deal. Okay, so you're looking at a 5-year, $120 million deal. And I could be on the low end. I mean, because Boris is probably going to ask for more. They're not going to spend that on top of whatever it costs to keep Pete and now have all of that money and years invested into Alonso, Bellinger, Soto, Nimmo, Lindor. Like, it's just, to me, I know we all love Steve Cohen. He spends a lot. I just don't see that being a possibility. But the way you lay it out, I'm not arguing. Like, sure, it'd be great. Like, you have yourself a big bat at DH, even if you don't know who the DH is every day. Because some days it could be Pete. Some days it could be Soto. Some days it could be Nimmo. Bellinger gives you plus defense in the outfield. He plays center until Benj is ready. Let's say Benj doesn't become a star. No big deal. You got Cohen. I get all of that. I just don't think that's realistic. I think looking at Bellinger is more of an Alonso replacement, and I do not love that because of the concern about what he's going to be over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I just think that there's an issue there too. When you say you want to be the Dodgers, when you want to be, you know, that level of team, unfortunately right now, you're going to have to spend a ton of money to match up with them.
Let's go to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is, I mean, maybe he's the premier free agent. He probably is. He's probably the guy that gets the most years, the most money. He had a weird year this year. He missed a little bit of time. He cooled off at the very end with Chicago. His final numbers are solid. 266 average, 22 home runs, 73 RBIs, and 841 OPS. I think the problem is last year with the Astros, and he missed half the year with the Astros, but when he played, he was so freaking awesome that his numbers dwarf what he did this season. But I think overall for Tucker, it was a downish season compared to what he's capable of. This is a guy that drove in 112 runs in 2023, had an 886 OPS. He's a gold glove caliber defender in right field. At least that's his reputation. Won a gold glove 4 years ago. Kyle Tucker, as solid as he is, and he's a good ball player. He really is. He is not going to be worth what he is given. Assuming he ends up getting what we kind of think he's going to get, which is a $400 million contract. He is a good ball player. He's going to be 29 years old next year. So decent age, you know, 2 years younger than Pete, obviously. Same age as Josh Naylor, if we're including him. I don't think he's a $400 million a year ball player, $400 million ball player. I think that's what he's going to get. And let's say the Mets are in love with him and their assessment of him is that he is a $400 million ball player. Great. Let's go get him. Where are you putting him? Because the only answer, if you sign Kyle Tucker, is that Juan Soto is moving to first base. And that's your replacement. And then Kyle Tucker is replacing Pete Alonso. We can discuss that in a second, which is the crux of this. And that Soto is literally making the position change right now. I think Juan Soto eventually is going to play first base. And if you think that contradicts me wanting Pete back, it doesn't. The guy signed a 15-year contract. Soto may end up playing first base at age 33. Do the math. That's 6 years from now. That's probably after Pete's next contract expires, even if he's asking for 5 or 6 years. So I think he ends up playing first base. I just don't think it's happening right now. And if you sign Kyle Tucker, that's what you're doing. Would he be a great addition? Is he a better player than Pete Alonso? Look, let's just be honest. He is. I'm sorry. I think the one thing that Pete has on Tucker is reliability. You know, Tucker missed a bunch of games this past year. He missed half the season in 2024. Before that, he played a bunch in 23 and 22. That is certainly something Pete has over him. But when it comes to average, when it comes to on base, when it comes to OPS, like, the one thing Pete's going to have is he'll hit more home runs. But Kyle Tucker may give you 35 doubles, 30 home runs, 110 RBIs, a 900 OPS. He is another left-hand hitter. So the balance of the lineup certainly gets affected. But I think the Kyle Tucker thing is complicated on two accounts. It's complicated on terms of the contract because it's going to be another mega contract. Again, not sure that's being handed out by Steve Cohen. And two, are they ready at age 27 with Soto and year two of his contract to move him to first base? I don't think that they are. What's your thoughts on Kyle Tucker as a replacement for Pete Alonso.
Now you know how I feel about him in fantasy because you drafted him and dropped him, and I picked him up, and I have him as a keeper 22nd round. So I feel very good on the keeper side of things. Here's the one thing I'm going to tell you, and whatever. It was, I believe the date was June 29th. Go back June 29th all the way to August 21st. One home run.
Wow.
He had a huge slump, so much so that they had to sit him. I know he hit the – I think he hit the IL for a little bit. He – something was off this year with him, and maybe it was his health, but it was a concern. Now, I don't think that's who Kyle Tucker is. We've seen his numbers. We know his stats. We know how good he can be in the outfield defensively. But that is a concern if there's something like that that's going on that's going to be a lingering injury. I don't know if you could bring him in.
Yeah, so if you start the date of, let's go with July 3rd. Is that the date you brought up, July 3rd?
June 29th.
All right, if you go July 3rd to the end of the season, .223 batting average, an OPS of .695, five home runs, 21 RBIs, and you mentioned you go back or you move up a little bit, you'll even see worse numbers. Yeah, I mean, he had a bad second half, and it probably was health-related, and I think that is a level of concern that you have. The problem is Juan Soto is such a good hitter that when the Mets were negotiating with him, I think we all agreed, whatever it takes. You know what? Whatever it takes. It may feel like an overpay, but that guy is so good, it'll be worth it. Kyle Tucker is a really good baseball player. He's not Juan Soto. I think we all know that. And he's not going to be worth $400 million. And I think that we have to be open to Steve Cohen handed out a monstrous contract to Francisco Lindor. He handed out a monstrous contract to Juan Soto. Is there a limit on the amount of monstrous contracts one can hand out? Because even Pete's not getting a monstrous contract. He may get 4 or 5 years. That's on the table, considering the season he just had. And by the way, I don't even know if he's going to get that. Kyle Tucker is looking at a 10-year, $400 million deal. And as good of a ball player as he is, it just doesn't feel like that's something that makes sense for the Mets to do. I think some of the other options we talked about, Alex Bregman, Kyle Schwarber, to a degree, Josh Naylor, I think those are the guys that make the most sense when it comes to replacing Pete Alonso. I'll give you two quick names. Nolan Arenado, no thank you. That would be the Gold Glove caliber defense at third base. And then, you know, someone plays first base. And then in a similar vein, Eugenio Suarez, who can hit 45 home runs, but as we saw after he was moved to Seattle, can also sink and disappear for a long period of time and also doesn't play great defense. So to me, if they lose Pete Alonso, if they are in the position of replacing Pete Alonso, I would power rank it this way in terms of best replacements. And again, it's not first base, it's replacing Pete Alonso. I would rank it Bregman number one slightly, Schwarber number two, Josh Naylor number three. And Bregman and Schwarber I go back and forth on because I do think that the bat that Schwarber has, he's not just a replacement for Pete Alonso. We went over it at the top. His overall numbers are better. And then you allow yourself to get better defensively at first base. But I think those are Naylor is the fall off, but those are the three guys that I think I'm intrigued the most by if they're forced to replace Pete Alonso. The Japanese ball players, Murakami and Akimoto, they're such an unknown that I'd have to be really convincing myself to be excited about that replacement because I just don't know. Doesn't mean it can't work. Just means I don't know. What is your number one, Hoff, replacing Pete Alonso player?
I think that Schwarber, unfortunately, has the best metrics for offensive production, which is what I'm looking for. He's not replacing first base, though. So if you're talking about just replacing first base, I think it's Josh Naylor and then Cody Bellinger.
What do you think out there, people? You can email us, therico@gmail.com, therico@gmail.com. Who of the options we talked about would be the best at replacing Pete Alonso? And also, what's your final conclusion? Obviously, we don't know about contract. We don't know what Pete's going to ask for. We don't even know about Bregman and Schwarber. But are you actually leaning towards preferring replacing Pete Alonso, saying, you know what? I like what you said about Kyle Schwarber. I like the idea of Alex Bregman. That's better. I like Kyle Tucker and moving Juan Soto to first base. You tell us, therico@gmail.com, therico@gmail.com. You thought replacing Pete Alonso was tough? Wait till our next episode, replacing Edwin Diaz. Thanks for listening to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.